Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, that is just weird. It was fine.
No, yeah.
She goes, right up until we go on, then it's fine. Really, BT?
GLaDOS, get up off of us.
Let's try this again. Oh, my God. Ah, right before we go on. Remember, it sounded all clear, and then right before it.
Ooh, that's loud in my ear. Yeah.
That is messed up, GLaDOS. Anyway, good morning to you, lovely people. Happy Friday. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sorry. I had to make sure that we weren't sounding like that. No, we sound good.
Oh, we're fine. That's our crazy switchboard. Good. Happy Friday to you.
Yay. Sorry, I was taking a drink. Happy Friday. It's lunchtime, people, and I'm kind of mad, so I'm sitting here eating.
What's in your drink?
Gatorade. Blue Gatorade. Powerade.
Yeah, I better run.
Yes, it's good. It's very good. It's nom, 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 nom. Run. Very good. Very good.
I said run while she's not looking.
Run, 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 run. Run, run as fast as you can.
I don't know what our show sounded
never
like.
Never get me. I'm the gingered one.
Oh, no. Never say that. Did I not tell you the story about that when I was a child? You were never to speak of that.
What? No, you didn't tell me the story.
Well, I have to tell everybody the story now because they're going to be like, what? Okay, so when I was little, my mother took me to see Gingerbread Man or whatever. I don't know if it was a cartoon, book, or whatever the case may be. However, she bought me a giant gingerbread man because she was like, oh, how cute. And they tried to eat him, and I threw a fit. No, eat him! No, eat him! He's a baby. Don't eat him. Yeah.
And why?
I don't know, and I still have a thing to this day about eating things that have faces on them. This is why I don't eat crawfish.
I don't eat crawfish because it'd kill me.
They're what?
I don't eat crawfish because it'd kill me.
They're gummy.
They would kill me.
Oh, well, yeah, that's different. You can't eat them. I don't eat them because I don't like things that look at me while I eat them.
They're kind of gross. Why would you eat those, people?
You know, Red Lobster has the audacity to have a commercial with the little lobster antenna. That does not look appetizing. I don't look at that and say, I want to eat that. I look at that and think, roaches. That's nasty. Okay. We need to do some news. Bad, Corey, bad. Okay. So Amazon is garnering some big news this morning. We have to give them a bit of applause. I would, but our switchboard is acting up. But Jeff Bezos, if you didn't know who he was, who's the head of Amazon, has donated money to support same-sex marriage. That's right.
That's awesome.
He is not gay, before you start saying, well, of course he must be gay. No, he's not. Jeff and his wife, Mackenzie Bezos, have donated $2.5 million to a Washington state coalition working to approve Referendum 74. That measure on the November ballot is designed to protect the state law protecting the rights of same-sex couples to marry. The donation doubles the amount of money raised by Washington United for Marriage. Jennifer Cass, who's WUM's volunteer finance chair and former Amazon.com manager, says she's thrilled by Jeff and Mackenzie's staggeringly generous donation. To their support of our efforts to approve R-74 comes at an important time and will have great impact. She says, I'm deeply grateful to both of them as this donation will help us make history. A separate organization by the name of Preserve Marriage Washington is looking to reverse the state's law on same-sex marriage, which was passed earlier this year and signed by Governor Chris Gregor. Preserve Marriage is written on their website, marriage is a special relationship reserved exclusively for heterosexual unions because only the intimate relationship between men and women has the ability to produce children.
What?
As a result of that sexual...
Yes, because people have children every day, only in marriages.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only been straight people or animals or anything that have ever been together, ever, period.
That's right. This,
y'all are stupid. This Please whole, follow your head.
Yes, this whole thing is ridiculous. As you know, we are here in the geek community, the majority of us. I'm gonna speak for all of us here, and I don't care if you don't agree with me. I'm going to speak for all of us. We don't care. If you want to get married and be charged extra taxes or get tax breaks for getting married, I do not care. As long as you are not breaking into my house and robbing and stealing and cutting me, you are fine with me. And I don't care what you label me as for that. I believe in live and let live. It has nothing to do with me, whatever people do in their own house. And when I start telling other people what they can do in their own house, then we have a problem. I just woke up in 1940s Russia. This is what happened when I start telling people what they can do in their own house. Anyway, thank you, Jeff Bezos, for the donation. I think we lost Ginger, but I'm not sure. Okay, but anyway, thank you, Jeff, for your donation. Fantastical thing that he's done. If you want to, I guess, pop over to their, well, they didn't put a website. Anyway, this comes to us via our people at GeekWire. GeekWire, nice story. We like it. Okay, so I was getting my stories ready before we lost the Ginger. It's a sad, sad thing that we have lost the Ginger. Ginger, hello. We may have dropped completely. If you can hear us, please go ahead and shoot me a tweet. I'm really not sure if anybody can hear us. All right. Other news on the forefront this morning. Interesting things with Facebook. We mentioned this last night. Facebook has a little bit of a – they've made a little bit of money. There she is. So it was just you that dropped, Ginger. I wasn't sure. I'm never
Yay!
Sure.
Oh, I wasn't quite sure what the hell happened there. that was a little annoying. Just a little bit.
Like, I'm not sure if we lost Ginger or not. But I'm going to keep talking. And if you can hear me, go ahead and send me a tweet. Okay.
Yay! So it's just me. Just me.
It's just you. By the way, I wanted to share this earlier, and we'll probably be putting up some more stuff like this. Good snack to have as a gamer. You know, we like the rice cakes, right? You and I love
them.
You know, if you break them up, they're kind of like popcorn, caramel popcorn. If you break them up into small pieces, like you take a mash.
Yes.
Very nice snack to have.
They are, yeah.
That's good. Cheating. Anyway, Facebook has earned a little bit of money with their stock. They are not apparently not doing so bad anymore. They posted a $1.18 billion revenue for second quarter. Ginger's like, I'm not convinced. It comes in slightly above their estimates, shows a 32% year-over-year growth. Facebook's EPS was right in line with expectations, and Facebook posted a net loss for the quarter of $157 million. The loss can be attributed to expenses from its share-based compensation plan, exclusive share-based compensation, and related poll tax, payroll tax increase. Why can't I talk? Tax expenses, non-GAAP net income was $295 million or 0.12 cents per share compared to $285 million and 0.12 cents per share for the same quarter in the prior year. Yay for Facebook. Good for you.
Yay!
I'm still not buying.
No, not happening. No way, no how, All right, sorry. All right, so Humble Music Bundle announced taking a break from offering DRM-free pay-what-you-want indie games. The folks behind the Humble Indie Bundle are trying out a new medium, music. Today, they announced the Humble Music Bundle offering 6 digital albums from the likes of Christopher Tin, They Might Be Giants, Jonathan Colton, Mick Frontalot, or is it MC Frontalot? Anyways, and Hitoshi Sakimoto.
I love him. Where's
Yay!
He been?
No idea. The albums are Favoritism from MC Frontalot, Troubling Questions from They Might Be Giants, Calling All Dawns from Christopher Tin, Best of the Valkyria Chronicles from Hitoshi Sakimoto, and Jonathan Colton's Greatest Hits, plus 13 other songs from Jonathan Colton. Paying more than the average price, which is $8.20 when this was written, will unlock 12 remixes of 4 songs from OK Go. All right, so you want to learn more about this, you want to throw some money at it, head over to humblebundle.com. Yay! Okay,
are they just doing music or...
Yeah, this time it's just music, not games.
No, I mean, I was trying to say, are they doing just gaming music? Because, you know, MC Frontalot is nerdcore, so...
That I don't know, but it does look that way. Though They Might Be Giants isn't just gaming music, is it?
No idea, darling. No clue. I am trying to get over to my Google Plus page, and I see a new game up called Band Stars, and it's gonna get real ugly if I try to do that right now. So I'm gonna try not to look at it.
Oh no! No! Walk away from it. Walk away.
I know. It's all baby nature's fault. We went to Target last. Remember I said last night we went to Target, and they had that paper jams thing they had out. Where it was the paper guitar and the paper amplifier.
Yeah.
She had a gift card and that's what she bought, and it is like the coolest thing ever.
They had those at Walgreens like last year, the year before, selling them.
Yeah, they were like $30. It was $7 yesterday, $7 and $2 for the amp. So I was like, ooh.
That's not bad.
We've been headbanging in the office today. She, of course, she grabbed my ponytail and told me to stop doing that. Mommy, you need those brains. I do need those brains. I will not disagree with her. Another company that has good brains, and sometimes they use them well and sometimes not, but this looks like a hit to me. I think I'm going to want to play this. Paradox, one of our favorite game companies on planet Earth. Yes, they've announced their intentions to unleash the full might of new Empire. That's Empire spelled with an I, and some of you don't know that that's wrong, but it's supposed to be spelled with an E. It's I, a game of strategy that's supposed to challenge players to properly assess and allocate the evil within their black hearts. Taking place within the fan-favorite world of Majesty, players from Empire will be tasked with ruining the lands of Ardania for those fans by reviving the greatest threat the realm has ever known within a dungeon lair of their own design. Run your empire by defending against heroes, invading a personalized demonic compound, while also sending underlings to the surface to wreak chaos among those who call the land near your empire home. Utilizing a vast array of minions, deadly traps, and growing arsenal of wicked spells, players will guide the demon Baal Abaddon to his rightful place atop the skulls of his mortal foes, just as soon as they can help him escape the body of a pathetic little imp. Yes, he's trapped in the body of an imp. It's adorable. This was developed by Cyanide Montreal. Empire tells the sordid tale of Baal Abaddon. I cannot say this. A once mighty horror from the bottomless pit who finds himself summoned by the incompetent sorcerer, Oscar Van Fairweather.
I'm over here giggling. You can't hear me. I totally heard that wrong.
He's also using your cunning and array of devious tricks. Players will help the demon lord.
My mind doesn't gutter. What the hell?
It's all snow. It's filtering all over to the rest of us. Really, it's just bad.
Snow. Get it in line, girl. Get it in line.
Get together. Let me jump ahead because there's a ton of little information. How I said it. Oh man, the coffee's kicked in. User designed dungeons filled with different types of rooms and an assortment of death traps. Minions of every shape and size to be leveled up and equipped with upgraded equipment, a custom deck of magical item cards to be unlocked and built to suit any playing style, and the opportunity to squash pesky heroes beneath one's hooves and grind their souls into helpful dungeon-building resources.
Now, see, that's hot. Let's grind some souls.
There's also a campaign that you can play solo or in co-op mode, and many multiplayer modes to confront and crush one's so-called friends. Empire is slated for release on PC Q1 of next year, so here's hoping you live the life, a full and satisfying life.
That sounds like fun.
And you should see, the screenshots are just absolutely amazing. I tell you, we say this all the time. When Paradox hits it out of the park, they knock it out of the park. But it's never in between. It's either good or it's bad.
That is so true. And it's sad. I love you, Paradox, but wow. Some of the stuff you put out, it's like you throw things at the wall and hopefully some of them stick.
The ones that stick do damn good. This one.
They do. They do.
I want to play it looking at the screenshots, and that don't happen very often.
Ones that don't, not so much.
Yeah, we got a screenshot of one of the little imps, and I don't know what he's doing. I think he has a watering can, and he's standing next to a wheelbarrow and some mushrooms, and I just want to click on everything in the room so I can see what it does.
And that is what they are really good at, is click games. Very, very point clicks.
Yes.
All right, I'm looking for, I had one specifically. Oh, here we go. Are you ready for this, Corey? Are you ready to be addicted?
I am.
Farming Simulator 2013. The staple of virtual farming is back. Giants and Focus Home Interactive are pleased to unveil the first images and details of Farming Simulator 2013, released on PC in October of 2012 and on PlayStation and Xbox in the first quarter of 2013. With the 2011 edition, Farming Simulator had surprised the world by becoming a surprise hit, which went on to become the bestseller in some of the main European countries, over 500,000 copies sold in France and Germany. Thanks to its simple and accessible gameplay, Farming Simulator has attracted a large and loyal following by enabling many players to manage their own farms and operate numerous farming machines. Farming Simulator 2013?
Farm?
Yes,
farm.
Farming Simulator.
Where?
I got it up on GameMatrix.com. Keep farming. All the ingredients that make the staple of virtual farming while incorporating many new machines, vehicles, crops, animals, and environments. Farming Simulator 2013 features equipment from the top 20 vehicle manufacturers. Dozens of new machines have found their way into the game, such as the notable Brand Case IH, as well as some gigantic farming machines soon to be unveiled at the Gamescom Cologne. All right, new to this edition is a complete online mode and online services, making it possible for the community to create, download, and share mods, vehicles, and equipment, as well as custom-made tools through the customization options directly integrated into the game. All right,
oh,
so you like
God.
This, you want to play it, GameNatrix.com this morning.
I want to play it.
I know you do, because you're like a crazy person. You like playing these things.
It's a simulator. Don't you get it? It's a simulator. Oh, the competition.
No, unless it's simulating sex, no thank you.
You know what? Let me just go ahead and text Snow and tell her you have done us wrong. Ginger is being a dirty bad girl on air.
She'd love it. She'd love it. You know she would. She'd be like, oh, yeah? You'll get no help from there.
I can't even type this because I'm going to end up saying it out loud. That would be bad. Some text you all do not need to see that pass between us, really. There are a lot of things with y'all here, but some things.
How you doing?
Yeah, how you doing? Oh, man, is it hot in here?
Can I come sit in your lap?
Oh, is it hot to you?
Girl, it is hot.
It is. I concur.
I've already been out hiking this morning. I am hot.
I was not talking about that hot. Okay. As you all know, the Twitter was down yesterday. And apparently in the short time that it was down, it is estimated that it cost the economy $1 billion in that short time that it was down. Offline for 45 minutes. Yes. This is from a website called Down for Everyone or Just Me, says that Twitter was down for about 45 minutes. In addition, any web address shorteners based on Twitter were down as well. So any t.co links that you clicked on didn't work yesterday. Twitter's site usage page confirmed that by simply saying what we were telling you live on air yesterday, users may be experiencing issues accessing Twitter. Our engineers are currently working to resolve the issue. Thank you for using Aperture Science. Wait a minute, I added that last part on. Anyway,
so who took it down?
Nobody knows. Everybody who contacted Twitter yesterday got a response from a rep that said, thanks for getting in touch. We're aware of the issue and looking into it. We'll let you know when we have an update. And keep an eye on status.twitter.com for updates as well. Thank you for choosing Aperture Science. A few weeks ago, a number of...
hacked.
So the guys over at VentureBeat popped over to ask Ray Wang, who's at Constellation Research, about the outage. And according to Wang, the economy could have lost as much as $25 million a minute during Twitter's outages. And this is based on his assumptions. And his assumptions are the following, that Twitter has 500 million users. Let's say 100 million of those are business users. Let's say an average salary of $125,000 over 128,800 minutes, assuming a 40-hour work week/year. And let's also say an outage means you lose about $1 per person per minute. And then you say that about 25% of the 100 million are online during the work hour doing real work during the outage. So according to the Twitter status page, the site issued the update that they issued yesterday, this outage may have cost the economy about $1 billion.
Wow. I would never have thought about that from just Twitter, you know?
Yeah. Of course, the massive communication utility outages do result in real-time economy losses, even if it's not just 25 million a minute. So anytime anything's down nowadays, it costs us a lot of money.
So who do we sue for this?
I don't know. We need to sue somebody because I'm going to say, you know what?
I lost money from this. Thank you.
We could not sell our baby shoes. By the way, Ginger, that reminds me. Our store is almost empty.
Gotta make shoes
like them damn Keebler elves. I'm serious. Your shoes are gone. I think a whole like side of your shoes that came in the other day, and I was like, what the? I know one of my platforms is completely empty except for one little lonely shoe, and yeah, it's the store looks really bare. It's a horrible, horrible thing.
I'll have to get on making some shoes.
Yeah, we gotta get to work. I got some wings in the works I'm going to make. People are like, what are y'all talking about? Well, if you play Second Life, you'd know. You should pop by our GamerGirlsRadio.com page, click on one of those little links that take you to Second Life, and sign up.
Yes, we is making real money in a video game. Na, 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 na. What you think about that?
how we roll. Like, and I'm holding my coffee cup all gangsta. That's how we roll.
How we roll. And it's like quiet today, man. It's
on Twitter. That's the, yeah, because Twitter was down yesterday. People are like scared, or it might be down again for all we know.
No, it's up. It's up. I was just checking.
Okay.
World of Warcraft receives expansion come September. It's not news for us. We knew it, but hey, whatever. World of Warcraft's fourth expansion, the Panda Bear feature, Mists of Pandaria, is to be made available from September 25th. Players allied with either of the game's factions, the Alliance or the Horde, will be ushered towards the lost continent, Pandaria, where a new type of playable character awaits, the bear-like Pandaren. The expansion is intentionally aimed at World of Warcraft's old-timers, casual players, and newcomers alike, with the panda motif expected to go down particularly well with the World of Warcraft's Chinese user base. In addition, Mists of Pandaria's release is well-timed to woo back ex-WoW players who have been checking out other titles in the massively multiplayer online game genre, in particular Guild Wars 2, with a launch a month prior on August 28th. No, you've not wooed me back. Sorry.
They wooed you back.
I'm happily playing APB, and I'm happily playing, oh, good Lord, it's lost me at the other one. Other one. Oh, well, I'll think in a minute. My brain's dead.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to tackle this one because Ginger says she always gets the ones with the crazy names. So.
Yay!
let me listen up my tongue. La, 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 la. Okay. Grumpalympia.
Grumpalympia?
Grumpalympia started today.
Oh, my God. Does the Grumpalympicus live there?
Grumpalympicus. I'm done.
Seriously, Grumpalympicus.
I said Grumpalympia.
Oh, no, that was Cephalopicus. My bad.
Stop smoking it, Ginger. Stop it. Grump Olympia from NO Games started an event of Olympic proportions in a strategy-based browser game, Grumpalus. Grump Olympia will be running on the ancient island worlds for the next 4 weeks. It's going to be running parallel to the 2012 Olympic Games in London, which should be going on like right now, or getting ready to end for the day at least, or something. I don't really know. From now on, the most excellent athletes in the world will face each other in fierce competition. Players who successfully train their proteges will receive numerous in-game advantages. Players will prepare their athletes for four gripping disciplines: hoplite race, archery, javelin throwing, and chariot race. Each competition takes a week and requires a balanced training of several skills. Several athletes obtain bay leaves, which can be exchanged for several bonuses and advantages, or to smoke. So the most successful. What is, you ever had the people with the bay leaf cigarettes? I cannot stand the smell of those things. Not the smell of any cigarettes, but those are probably the worst. Sorry, you people who like to smoke them. The most successful will be bestowed with awards, ensuring eternal glory and powerful Olympian rewards, and massively boosting one's You know what you just reminded me of? Many people do not remember this. The original Madden for Sega Genesis used to have a fight mode, and I used to play it just so that I could make the football players fight, and it would scream it on the feed, "Fight!" on the screen, and then you start pressing buttons. Oh, I loved it. Anyway, Grumpalus is a strategy game that's set in ancient Greece. In the browser-based title, players are tasked with building up a vast metropolis and uniting with others to establish a powerful military and conquer faraway lands. The gods of Greek mythology, Zeus, Hera, Athena, Poseidon, Hades, and Artemis, influence the player's fate. The game is free to play and does not require a download. Next to Grumpalus, InnoGames has published major browser game titles such as Tribal Wars and Forge of Empires, with more than 80 million registered users, which Ginger pointed out yesterday doesn't mean they're actually playing, but they are registered. The German company belongs
to a crap load of games that I never end up playing. I get like halfway in and I'm like, you know what, this sucks, never mind.
You gotta keep our interest. I even for a little while lost a little bit of interest in what's our game that we like? Idol Worship? I do love Idol Worship. Yes. It's just I got sidetracked.
Me too. But I'm back and tearing people up.
Well, remember we destroyed that girl. I was expecting to come back and find my cities in ruins, but she was alone.
Some dude just about pee his pants the other day. That was hot.
That is always fun. And, of course, if you saw me on two Facebook accounts last night, I had Baby Natrix sitting next to me handling one city, and she wanted to fireball somebody. We had like a long, like 10-minute argument about why she should not fireball yet. Our idols were decaying and we needed to get our power up. She's like, but I got one fireball. I could just boom. You know, I could just hit him. I was like, no.
No, because he's going to come back with even more.
And we're not ready. We are not ready.
Yeah, no, we're not. Okay, so Google, Facebook joined the Internet Association.
Really?
Yeah, according to a BBC report, Facebook, eBay, Google, and Amazon have joined forces for a new lobbying group that will push issues they deem important in Washington. The new lobbying group is called the Internet Association, will open up shop in Washington, D.C. in September. They will handle political and regulatory issues in the Capitol. According to the Center for Responsive Politics, Google has already spent $5.4 million on lobbying in 2012 so far. Facebook, on the other hand, not so much. It's only spent an estimated $650,000 because, you know, their wallets are just that tight. not a bottomless pit of money there, are you right? This new group hopes to educate lawmakers about the Internet, according to its new president, Michael Beckerman. Mr. Beckerman is a former advisor to the chairman of the House of Representatives Energy and Commerce Committee. He says, "We want to educate lawmakers about the impact of the Internet in their congressional districts." Obviously, this group will have more members, which we don't know who yet. When we won't know until the group makes an announcement in September. They will also reveal the issues that they will be fighting for in D.C. in September. So stay tuned, and we will keep you apprised of how this situation is going.
All right. I'm surprised to see them working together.
Google and Facebook?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not really all that surprised. Google is, like, way the hell up here. Facebook's way down here.
Well, Facebook thinks they're way the hell up here is a thing.
I know, but Facebook, you don't have the Google compound, just saying. You don't work on telephones and all kinds of other cool stuff. You don't have your own browser. No, you suck, okay? You are MySpace, but, you know, just like the older brother that's a little bit more successful.
Damn. Well, that is a quotable. I think I need to put that up on Twitter. at Ginger Quotable. Mm-hmm.
You go right on ahead. Quote me.
I'm of course, paraphrase. Facebook is MySpace's older, more successful brother. Slightly more successful brother. And what would Google be in that analogy?
Google would be like the grandfather who started it all, who owns, like, everything.
I love quoting.
You know they are. Yeah, that's exactly who he is.
Yes.
He's the grandfather who, you know, Facebook and MySpace are going to fight over if they ever die. Kick it.
Yeah, because those type of grandfathers never die. Their heart stops and then they and come back.
It's like Dallas all over again, but I don't remember the people's names from Dallas.
JR, Bobby. That's pretty much all I got. Oh, and Sue Ellen. That's all I got.
I don't remember. I remember JR. Who killed JR or shot JR?
The only reason I know that is because they keep running the promos and I say, oh, I remember him. Oh, yeah, that's JR, that's Bobby, and that's Sue Ellen, and the rest of them are, you know, old and passed away a long time ago, so.
Wow, it's been, like, what, 20 years?
Yeah, 20 years, 20 years. You know, what I think is amazing, that woman that plays Sue Ellen is 70-some-odd years old, and I swear to you, she looks like she's in her late 40s.
I know.
I don't know what she is drinking or smoking, but I need some.
She needs to let us know, right?
She needs to share. I mean, and I'm not saying just on the show. You know, on the show, they put the makeup on them so they look nice. I've seen her, like, live. There's, like, nary a wrinkle, not a gray hair. She's got no cellulite. This
and
woman
nary
is.
Nary a wrinkle.
Nary a wrinkle. I am a southerner. I had to say nary. That was, by the way, the Game of Nations line. I'm kind of worried. Did we say something about Microsoft? Because, you know, they like to.
I might have. You know, uh-oh. I run my mouth all the time.
Uh-oh, run, hide. Okay. Anyway.
It weren't me. It she made me to say it, just saying.
Did you just go southern and say it weren't me?
Okay. It weren't me.
It's just tease me about Nary. All right. Thomson Reuters is one of the biggest companies for news and gathering public relations services. It has purchased a new company called Mark Monitor for an undisclosed sum. The company's announced this just yesterday. Mark Monitor is basically a service that helps brands track what's said about them in public and offers trademark protection, copyright infringement, domain management, and more. The company has more than 400 employees across 5 countries, and its clients include half of the top Fortune 100 brands. Thomson Reuters said it will add Mark Monitors to its own to enhance the quality of the protection offered to its vast number of clients. According to VentureBeat, as part of that deal, the Mark Monitor team, including President and CEO Irfim Salem, will join Thomson Reuters. Founded in 2006, the San Francisco-based company previously raised $12 million in total funding to date from Cargill Ventures, Focus Ventures, Foundation Capital, and Institutional Venture Partners. Completion of the acquisition by Thomson Reuters is subject to standard regulatory approvals. I like the idea of this, but honestly, you can do this yourself. It's called Google search. Pretty much that's it. And I'm trying to see what they charge for this lovely service. They don't even have the price on the website, which means it's astronomical, people. And they won't give you the price. It's expensive. Yeah, usually when it's cheap or they perceive it to be a cheap service, then they'll put the price on there. There's no price on their website. Yeah, I don't see anything here. Request information.
What happened was,
yeah, you could do this yourself, and if you can afford to do it, great. Wait a minute. They have something here. Okay, all this does is tell you what it does. We still don't know about the price. Can we get some prices here, Reuters?
We kind of need to know. All right, seems like Gabe Newell isn't the only one throwing out the gauntlet. Blizzard exec echoes Valve's concerns about Windows 8. Valve's software's Gabe Newell isn't the only one that thinks Windows 8 is a catastrophe. They spelled catastrophe with catastrophe.
Anyway, y'all pay attention. I'm going to need y'all to pay attention. That's not right.
For game makers, apparently, responding to Newell's speech made earlier this week at the Casual Connect Game Conference, where he made some disparaging remarks about the upcoming operating system from Microsoft, Blizzard's executive vice president of game design, Rob Pardo, had similar words for Microsoft. On Twitter, Pardo commended Newell on his speech and added a Me Too to the public discussion of the OS's shortcomings. Nice interview with Gabe Newell. I think Windows 8 is a catastrophe for everyone in the PC space. Not awesome for Blizzard either. The complaint is over Microsoft's desire to have more control over various applications and purchases made through its next operating system. While developers are already talking about how much they dislike it, Microsoft hasn't disclosed the particulars on its new marketplace scheme to the general public. There's a strong temptation to close the platform, says Newell during his speech, because they look at what they can accomplish when they limit the competitors' access to the platform, and they say that's really exciting. This is apparently a reference to the Windows Store and Windows 8, which Newell believes will restrict companies' options when it comes to selling software directly. In addition, Microsoft would take a 30% royalty cut of every sale made through the store. 30%?
Yeah.
Crap, people.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
If true, this will not sit well with anyone that makes PC games and sells them. Companies like Blizzard want to sell their own wares, and companies like Valve want to use their own distribution platforms to sell games. Wow. All right. Newell, see, I told you last night. He knew something we didn't know. Rob Pardo and Gabe Newell, I'm with you, because that sucks. 30%? I mean, I'm not a game designer or anything, but holy.
Well, you think about Apple has been doing that. I never thought it was fair, but the thing that I was worried about last night is Gabe has to realize that your platform, it's not like you made your own operating system and you're advocating your game is still on Steam and you can move to Linux all you want. A lot of people are not going to follow you. It's not even that they're loyal to Windows. It's that this is what I know. It's easiest for me. I don't have time to be learning stuff.
There's an idea, Gabe. Make your own operating system.
Yeah, that is an idea.
Oh, Steam-based operating.
A gamer-based operating system would be awesome.
Oh, hot. God, that'd be hot.
Oh, excuse me, I need to touch myself.
I don't even want to put my hands above the desk. Yeah, that'd be sexy. Gabe, get on that.
Not him.
Sorry.
No. That was not a visual I wanted. No. Why? Yeah. You say, oh, my head hurts now. Thanks.
Aww.
That wasn't nice.
Poor Corey.
You hurt my feelings. Okay. Indie Developer Consulting, who loves to send us things, they've gone social. Yeah, so we want to say congratulations to them. It's Indie Developer Consulting again. They've gone social. They got a Twitter. They got a Facebook. They got a LinkedIn profile. So if you are a developer and you're looking to indie developer, more importantly, you're looking to join up with a company, they did pretty well. They I'm not going to say they do well. The person that they have, and I'm going to call her out because for doing a good job, because, you know, nobody ever calls anybody out for doing a great job. Tina over at Indie Developer Consulting does a very good job for the people that she works for, the developers, in getting their games out. It's just we don't usually like some of the games, but that's no bearing on her. But she does an excellent job. She's always on it. I'm telling you, I've been up at 1 o'clock in the morning, and that chick is up sending out, you know, PRs and here's a list of games and contact me and get back to me and so on and so forth. But you know, I'm sure she did not count on. We're kind of hard on our indie developers here. You got to be better than Microsoft and all these people if you don't send us.
Yes.
You got
some of that stuff you send us. I'm sorry, I don't want to. I take a first look at it and it's like, oh no.
Yeah.
Oh no. No, I prefer to keep my brains inside my head. Thank you. Not splattered against the wall.
It's just ew.
Yeah. Okay, so Solarola. I hope I'm saying this right. We have Liftoff. Yay! Square Enix, who, you know, should probably be fixing other games instead of doing this, today announces a totally reimagined version of the award-winning physics-based puzzle platformer Solarola. It is now available on the Apple App Store for iPhone, iPad, and iPod Touch, and on Google Play for a number of Android devices. Solarola has been fully redeveloped to... really? Redeveloped? Is that like your whole thing with your games in general? You just keep redeveloping them? Blah, blah. To offer players brand new cartoon-style graphics, an out-of-this-world storyline, and intuitive touch and tilt-based controls. Solarola stars Wiz and Waz, the game's blob-like gung-ho duo, tasked with bouncing across a number of mazy... I can't talk. Solarola stars Wiz and Waz, the game's blob-like gung-ho duo, tasked with bouncing across a number of mazy planets with the ultimate aim of saving the galaxy. Using whatever comes to hand, the daring pairing, that is how they wrote that, must thwart the plans of their nemesis, Ping the Unmerciless, and release the four guardians of Solarola's universe. With its redeveloped physics-based gameplay, touch, and tilt-based controls, Solarola is a perfect fit for mobile and is even more relevant to today's audience than when we launched the original back in 2007. Yeah. You know what? I give up. Because apparently Square Enix can't make an original game anymore. They just have to remake everything.
I don't know. Well, I do want to tell you this. This actually came in yesterday, of course, after we did the show. So, got to tell you about it. The Walking Dead game. Well, it's finally made its way to the App Store for iOS.
Yeah?
Yeah. From Telltale Games and Skybound Entertainment, based on Robert Kirkman's best-selling comic book series, graphic novels, and the TV show, the critically acclaimed episode A New Day is now available on the App Store as a universal app. That's right. The Walking Dead is a five-part episodic game series set in the same universe as Robert Kirkman's award-winning comic book featuring Deputy Sheriff Rick Grimes. Episode 1 and the following four episodes deliver an experience tailored by the decisions that each player makes, leading to multiple paths to the story. Players take on the role of Lee Everett, a man convicted of murder, now given a newfound freedom and a chance at redemption in a world devastated by the undead. Intense life-or-death situations will force the player to explore the darker sides of human nature, and they will meet familiar characters and visit locations from the world created by Robert Kirkman, foreshadowing the story of Deputy Sheriff Rick Grimes in the Walking Dead comics. Episode 1, A New Day, is available on the App Store right now for a mere $4.99. Episodes 2 through 5 will be released periodically and available via in-app purchase. Pre-order the remaining episodes in the Walking Dead game series by purchasing the multi-pack, Episode 2 through 5, for $14.99 via in-app purchase and save 25%. If you're wanting to know what they are, the name of the episodes, you have A New Day, Starved for Help, Long Road Ahead, Around Every Corner, and No Time Left. You can also pop by their official website, which is thewalkingdeadgame.com. They have a Facebook, they have a Twitter, and as you've heard us say here, this is the game is awesome and one of the smartest things I've seen. We were talking about this last night. If you're going to do something based off of a game or a TV show, you should do a side story, a backstory of one of the characters, because I have always been one of those people that watches movies and get interested in some other character other than the main character and wonder, what's their story? And this is a good thing to do. You've got sometimes maybe, anywhere upwards of four extra characters that aren't your main character, and you can throw them some story and background. And case in point, we hear us talk about Sex in the City, our version actually, the virtual Sex in the City, but the real one, they're doing a show centered around the lead character, Carrie Bradshaw, and before she was an adult. And I'm pretty sure if this goes well, we may get three other series that talk about the other three as, you know, as teens and before they met. So it can work. I don't know if this show is going to work, but it can work with a good writer.
I hope it's going to work, but I'm a little bit afeared of it.
Oh, the Sex and the City one?
Yeah.
I'm scared because the WB is getting it, so they're going to make it a little too. And it's not going to be on HBO because that's part of the whole Sex and the City thing is that there was a lot of sex.
Well, younger, there's a lot of sex going on.
Yeah, you have to be very careful about how you do that one.
Always dirty little people.
I know, I heard that in your head. That gingerbread.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Gingerbread.
I would never think about that.
Gingerbread.
I am way too sweet to think those words.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Battlestar Galactica Online hosts summer games decathlon for humans and Cylons across the universe. Big Point, worldwide leader in online video games, today announced its preparation for the upcoming Battlestar Galactica Online Festival of Cabal, a 17-day celebration filled with tournaments and events commencing July 27th through August 12th. Players will be able to participate in a variety of competitions, including a decathlon of 10 tournaments consisting of 4 different tournament types, as well as many other opportunities to win bonuses and rewards. The top 20 players for each tournament on every server will be awarded prizes, and the top 3 players of the decathlon will be recognized as gold, silver, and bronze winners. Based on the internationally popular sci-fi television series produced by Universal Cable Productions, Battlestar Galactica Online, which recently celebrated its one-year anniversary with over 10 million registered users, is a free-to-play browser-based space combat MMOG that combines high-quality 3D graphics with intense gameplay. Battlestar Galactica Online is licensed through the Universal Partnership and... okay, I don't care about that. Anyways, so what do we got? So we got a couple of tournament battles. Decimation, players with the most player versus player victories wins. Annihilation, players that inflict the most damage against the opposing faction wins. Crucible, players that gain the most experience points without boosters or capital ships wins. Rockbuster, players with the most mined resources wins. On days in between each tournament, Battlestar Galactica Online will hold a Golden Rock Splitter event from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. where players can mine from exquisite gold and silver asteroids that contain scarce resources guarded by ancient drones. Throughout the Festival of Cabal, BSGO will also offer a sale on specially designed limited edition gold ship skins for human and Cylon fleets. Awesome. So if you play this, head over to GameAndAtrix.com. I've got links for you and more information. Yay!
All right. I got two bits for you that are exclusive to us. Yay!
Oh, yay. I like exclusive.
I like exclusive, too. First up, as you know, we are huge Felicia Day fans.
Felicia Day, I love you. Have my babies, Felicia.
And she just posted up something like a mere few minutes ago, and I wanted to share
with
y'all.
She wants to run off and marry the ginger?
No. That would be two red-haired chicks together on the lam. Not a good thing. Cities will burn. Okay, but anyway.
That's a bad thing?
Yes.
Oh.
Cities cannot burn without me around. I have to supervise. put the fire there, there, and there. That'll maximize the damage. There you go. But she has up on her blog and where she says, of course, it's been 5 years since the first episode of The Guild was uploaded. And through that happening, helped her decide what she wanted to do with the rest of her life when she saw all of our comments. She said she wanted to make more videos, and she has a big thank you. She's sending out to all of us who supported and grown with us and continue to be a part of our family. And right now on the website...
Felicia, I love you. Marry me, Felicia.
Right now, they're up on their new website, Geek and Sundry. You can watch the first 4 seasons of The Guild with annotations and gag reel pieces that you will not find anywhere else, not on YouTube or anywhere else it might be uploaded. And she says she hopes it gives you more insight to how the 5 years got done. And she's also said that she's got to work on the season 6 script. So those of you who are wondering if you're getting more The Guild, yes, they will be back.
We better be. Wait, she left us? No, she better.
Yeah, he's coming back. Also,
Felicia, do not make me go all horror story on you.
No. Do not threaten the Felicia.
I love you, Felicia.
Hands above the desk, Ginger. Also, here's an interesting side note. Just a moment ago, I am perusing LinkedIn, and I'm surprised this has not made news, but, you know, they had the breakup with Twitter because none of our Twitter things are being posted, and they want you to post your things there directly. In any case, they've reinvented themselves.
Twitter has?
No, LinkedIn.
Oh, LinkedIn. Remember, okay,
after the whole break-in and everything, they've redone the page, the way that it works. If you've never used, have you used LinkedIn before?
I have a profile, but I've not been to it in God knows how long.
Well, when you go back, you're probably going to experience a little bit of shock. It's so, I love organized. So nice. But that's not the thing that really has me going. It's the contacts page. It now shows up like a grid. And there's no more of this having to send the person a note if you don't want to. You know, it takes you to a different page. All of it's right in the same page. You click it, it pops down, you send them a note, and you send, and you're done. And you can, and then that person disappears from the page, and you can look through everyone else there. Kind of like shopping.
Yay, we can shop for people.
Shop for people. I am very impressed. This is a nice update. See, you got a live review on air, and sometimes we say horrible things, but this is really, really, really nice update LinkedIn, and I'm hoping you're more secure because, yeah, I'm over here sharing stuff with people.
Better be secure.
Better be real secure.
Yes, be very, very, very secure.
They've also got a new jobs page.
Do they?
Yeah, and I heard this morning they were doing something a little different. Instead of the usual, you know, where you go and you sign up at a, you know, like CareerBuilder or something.com,
uh-huh.
Now they're actually, based on what you have experience in, they show you jobs. They match you up, and all you have to do is pretty much log in and decide, you know, hey, I want this. And it's under the jobs tab. It's called jobs you may be interested in, and based on whatever experience that you have. So according to this, I should be senior manager of business development at Riot Games in Latin America.
Hey, that's kind of awesome.
No,
I like this idea. I'll come visit you there.
Well, they have a job. And I am not going. Yeah, that would be trouble. I'd have like 15 children when y'all came to visit. The Latinos are hot, baby. We don't talk about y'all often, but
it's
hot. It's so hot I can't even mention you. Rawr. It's bad. It's bad. Y'all be like, Corey, you are pregnant again. Yes.
See, what happened was I fell and
don't drink the water.
I had a guy with me and, yeah.
Don't drink the water. I tried to tell you, don't drink the water.
But the water, it was so tasty. It was so sexy.
Very, very tasty.
All right. GameStop investigating digital youth game sales in Europe. GameStop is apparently paying close attention to the recent decision by the European High Court that digital purchases could legally be resold. Speaking to GameSpot, GameStop CEO Paul Raines said that the video games retailer is seriously looking into the idea of creating a business out of reselling digital downloads in Europe, but cautions that it is too early for him to say if it is something they will get into. At this point, the company is simply investigating the idea. It's very interesting, he says. There are some technologies out there in Europe, and we've looked at a couple that are involved. We are interested. It's not a meaningful business yet. Right now, we're not seeing that as a huge market, but I think we're on the leading edge. There are a few companies, a few startups out there that we've talked to that are doing this. No doubt the shift from retail to digital distribution would have helped game developers and publishers who are trying to get away from having to worry about used game sales, which they deem as having a negative impact on sales of new products. With the European High Court's ruling, GameStop may be able to continue profiting off used game sales in the growing virtual market space anyway. So back to square one. Yay! Square one.
Well, GameStop.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I'm not going to say anything.
But you totally hear that judging tone in her voice.
Yes, because, you know, that's what I do. I'm going to move along. Oh, hey, so who's that? Oh, anyway, yeah. See, this is why social networking is bad. You know how you go to pages and it has all the people that like this page? This is bad. I start looking down and going, oh, he's cute. Oh, who's cute? Oh, what is that he's holding? Is that a controller? What is that? Is he a gamer? Yeah, this is not good. Well, interesting new studies have come out. Games could predict whether you're colorblind, a gambler, or if you have ADD.
All three. Yes, thanks.
Yes. Lucas Towards, Twardowski, who's a young Polish entrepreneur, recently made an unexpected discovery. By analyzing data from video games, he thinks he'll be able to predict whether players are colorblind, have Alzheimer's, or suffer from various learning and development disorders. He can already use this data to tell whether players are gamblers, cheaters, or minors. So the profiling of medical...
Cheaters or minors?
That's what it says. So the profiling of medical conditions is not that distant, Twardowski claims. He says games are the richest and most meaningful form of human-computer interaction. This is in an interview he did with our people over at VB. He said we can use them to build a full user behavioral profile. Since its launch in 2009, Twardowski's company called Use It Better has focused its analytics and profiling capabilities to help developers and catch cheaters. Based on an analysis of how these players interact with the game, fraud detection has become an important component of the startup's value proposition. As the company's website explains, it can't prevent people from shoplifting, but it can show you who's the thief. But, ooh, this is so turning into Watch Dogs. And if you've not watched the Watch Dogs trailer, you got to watch to understand why I say that. By tracking, he says, how they play games, we can learn a lot about people, Twardowski explains. Hesitatingly, he added, there will be a huge responsibility for us later on. On first look, Use It Better does not seem like the kind of company on the brink of a major breakthrough. The 11-person team, primarily comprised of 20-something developers, is based in Poland, and the two founders divide their time between Poland and the U.S. The website still reflects the commercial goal and does not contain any mention of what Twardowski describes as the big vision. The founder's current focus is to convince mid-sized gaming companies that an analytics platform to track how players move through levels of a game can improve user experience and acquisition. The company describes itself as a CCTV for gamers, echoing the way closed-circuit TVs enabled continuous monitoring of public spaces and touts its resolution as the missing link between statistics and user interface and user experience design. The technology can see how long a user takes to make any decisions, or it can take snapshots of mouse movements and clicks and compile them in neat little reports and heat maps. For example, it might reveal that a group of players is clicking in a random spot, distracted by a purely illustrative graphic. These gamers might be frustrated and deterred from playing further. A simple design fix could keep those users immersed in the experience. Use It Better is currently working with mid- to large-sized companies, studios like Kabam. Remember them?
Bam!
Who pay them about $10,000 a month to access analytics reports on how users are typically playing their games. Use It Better is launching its analytics platform to the public next month. You've already gained some recognition in the gaming industry, recently taking home an award from the Global iGaming Summit and Expo. Twardowski is poised for early success for the current platform, but he has a grander vision, one that sits at the intersection between analytics, human-computer interaction, and games. Interesting. I'm seeing a Pulitzer here.
Yeah, definitely seeing something there.
But it's scary because I don't need to walk in the store and be like, according to your gamer profile, we have these shoes you might want to take a look at.
Oh, that would be bad. That would be so bad. Okay, so Big Point undertakes Universal Monsters Online into closed beta. Big Point today announced the Universal Monsters Online has entered closed beta and is now accepting player registrations to access the game before its global open beta launch. Developed in collaboration with Universal Partnership and licensing, Universal Monsters Online is a fast-paced, free-to-play, multiplayer online battle arena, a MOBA game, that brings together Universal's iconic monsters into one competitive experience. We are excited to have players jump into the closed beta of Universal Monsters Online. This is coming from Billy Deligatti, producer of Big Point. During this phase, we're able to test and optimize the game for improvements, and the community feedback we receive will help to ensure that the game is fun and entertaining. Universal Monsters Online pits the brand's iconic cast of monsters into a winner-take-all timed gameplay session where two opposing teams claw and gouge their way across a richly detailed game environment to achieve the ultimate victory, raiding enemy territory to locate the damsel and returning her to the team's fortress. So is this like the opposite of Mario? This is where Bowser goes in and steals the princess? Anyways, during the closed beta, players will be whisked into character selection mode where they can choose from a diabolical lineup of legendary monsters, Dracula, the Wolfman, creature from the Black Lagoon, and of course Frankenstein's monster, among many others. Full team cooperation will be demanded to survive, succeed, and defeat the town's chaotic villagers, zombies, and seemingly indestructible turrets. All right, so you want to check this out? You want to play it? UniversalMonstersOnline.com. Yay!
Oh, fantastical.
Yes. Fantastical.
Fantastic. I wonder. You know what? No, ma'am.
Sorry.
All right, I got to throw this one in because we got just enough time to throw it in. Remember, we've been telling you all about Ouya.
Ouya.
Well, they're saying OnLive is coming to Ouya at launch. OnLive has already signed the deal. The ink is not even dry yet. And they say they'll be coming to the Ouya Android console at launch, bringing a catalog of hundreds of games to the machine. And I got to tell you, if that works, it is beyond sexy. Ouya will become another step in OnLive's cross-platform functionality, which allows players to track gaming progress across PC, console, and mobile devices, all except Droid. Because I'm telling you, I was looking forward to playing me some... what was that game I was addicted to for a short minute? You know the one I'm talking about. Where I was being the dictator. Tropico. Okay, so anyway, when OnLive first heard about Ouya, they said they were excited to see console gaming becoming more available and open. They said, like Ouya, we came to gaming with a new vision for making top-quality gaming accessible to more people, and we continue to look for ways to expand on that vision. This is from OnLive's UK general manager, Bruce Grove. He said, Ouya is rethinking the console business, making waves by using standard technology to make gaming for your living room accessible, affordable, and more innovative than ever. In OnLive's case, we pioneered a groundbreaking cloud-based system that instantly delivers games to any device on demand. No, it does not. You lie.
You liar. You dirty, dirty, dirty liars.
I wish it did. If it did, I'd be singing. Oh, be a happy girl. Ouya has already caught the eye of the press and the public with a phenomenally successful Kickstarter campaign, which has raised well over $5 million from an original target of $950,000. Earlier this week, the machine scored another PR coup when Robert Bowling's Robotoki Studio promised the release of episodic content for its first game, Human Element, on the machine, which we still don't know what Human Element is about or if they're even a real company. But anyway, we hope this works out well. They're saying this is going to be the first game on the platform, so it's benefit to both of us to make sure we're getting full advantage of everything it is. Obviously, a lot of people understand that the Android SDK, or they understand it and they know how it works. A lot of people have worked with Tegra 3, but there are specific Ouya-based hooks and API features that we can tap into and want to take advantage of. So, guys, good luck. We hope it works out. I'm still waiting to see something because I'm trying to just say that they're busy and not stay on them too hard. Give them time to get caught up because that happens to us here too. We get busy and we can't get everything done. We try, but keep it.
We do, and I hope you can't hear that noise in my background.
We didn't until you told us.
Okay. All right. Because that was strange. That was very strange. Do I have time for another one?
No, not really.
All right, well, then I won't tell you about anything else.
Unless it's 1 minute.
I got a minute.
All right, do it.
Farming giant, are you dreaming of your own agricultural empire? Then be prepared to start your career as an internationally successful farmer in third quarter of 2012 with Farming Giant. The new product of the successful Giant brand will present a first-class business simulation crafted with a lot of details. In the best tradition of the Giant series, the players will get a first-class business simulation crafted with a lot of details. The players will build farms, maintain, and upgrade his properties. Whether farming or ranching, the experience covers all parts of agriculture.
Is this the same game from earlier?
No, it's a different one.
Jesus.
From
they're trying
Farming
to kill me.
Giant, though. But I've got it up on GameNatrix.com, so...
They're trying to kill me. Two farming games in one day, I can't do it.
I know, right? You'll love it.
All right. You know what? Seeing as we... Gladys does not want to let our music play. Listen to this. Let me show you.
Oh, that's not cute.
I don't know what's wrong with her today. She is like, no, there
She's
will be no music.
She's a moody little winch.
That is not what you wanted to say.
No, it's not. But we're on air, so I got to watch what I say.
It's daytime.
Daytime.
Wait, one more time, Gladys. Gladys, are you going to let it play? She let
Yay!
It play. She likes it dirty. All right, guys. You know where to find us. GamingAgents.com, GamerGirlsRadio.com. And we're going to get out of here before GLaDOS grabs the music again.
She's trying. GLaDOS?
Did you give him their bye kisses so we can go?
Not